Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. With me today is a special guest of the podcast, Francisca Rocky. Francisca is currently doing a degree in BSc Geography in York. Nevertheless, being born in the borough of Barnet, she is most definitely a Londoner. Growing up between London, Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire, she's got a mix of the urban and rural life. Outside of geography, Francisca is a blogger, a vegetarian and a fundraiser. Despite having a fear of heights, Francisca jumped out of a plane from 13,000 feet, ultimately raising nearly £4,000. Francisca's most recent achievement has been the founding of the Black Geographer Instagram page, a page with the aim to foster a community, giving Black geographers a space to connect and network. So welcome, Francisca.
Hello.
So I always like to kick it off. Do you remember when you first started thinking about studying geography at university?
Yeah, actually. It's actually quite funny because I used to hate geography. When I was about, I think, 13, 12, I actually preferred history.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a teacher that I absolutely loved. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick history. That's what I'm going to do for GCSE. And I probably would have followed through with that because how history was taught was amazing by this specific teacher. And then he left. And then I was like, oh, like I actually only enjoyed it because I loved the way it was taught by that specific teacher. Mm. And then I had a geography teacher called Miss Pack, and she was amazing. And I started like developing a love for geography instead. So from the age of like 14 through to now, I'm 20 years old, turning 21. I've just like learned more and more about it. I do my own research as well as like obviously university research you do at university for like assignments and things like that. But yeah, that is where my love for it started.
And do you have a favourite topic that you've most enjoyed studying?
Over the years, especially at GCSE, my favourite was natural hazards. I don't know why, like, but I have such a fascination for it. I feel like it's quite an odd thing to be fascinated by because obviously natural hazards are not a good thing, but I just find like the whole management of them or how, you know, how they occur and how people respond to them, like within communities and how like the government responds to them and things. To me, I find it really, really interesting. And I did an essay about climate migration in Bangladesh. And there were just so many things that obviously I thought I knew, but I didn't know. And I'd love to like further research in like disaster management and resilience in the future.
So then Fab, can you now tell me about the first song you'll be taking with you?
Okay, so I will be taking with me Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. The original, I think it's really calming. And it's one of those songs that I can always listen to. And I know I'll always, no matter what mood I'm in, I'll always enjoy it.
So my next question is, what is it like living and studying in York? And how does it compare to living in London?
So York is so pretty, for starters. There's loads of greenery, obviously much more than London because in Yorkshire. I think people in Yorkshire are really friendly as well. I'm like a wannabe northerner. I just love like the north of England, to be honest. And I'd love to move like to Manchester when I graduate. I just think it has a really nice friendly vibe. I love like the greenery and just spaces where you can like, you know, be a bit more free. Obviously the north of England is less polluted. And I just think it, for me, I'd have like a happier, more calm lifestyle in the north. It's nice. I think York is very different to how it would be if you were like someone who, you know, was born and bred there. There is like a nice like community type feel within the student hubs. I mean, there's not really much of like the nightlife side of it, for me personally anyway, but Leeds is nearby. Manchester is not too far. Newcastle is not too far. So, and also you don't have the tube.
Yeah, it's true. But then everything's so close, you can just walk, I guess.
Yeah. Have you been to York?
No, I haven't. I've been Leeds, Manchester. York's definitely on there for somewhere I want to go.
York is really recommend. especially at Christmas, in autumn Christmas time, it's really, really nice. The Minster, did I say that right? Yeah, the Minster is really pretty.
Do you have any favourite spots in London?
Yes, Eat Genesis, the vegan cafe in Shoreditch. I love Junkyard Golf, just because I like doing like type things.
That's pretty cool.
I love Brixton Village. They've got loads of really good food places, like Eat of Eden, which is a vegan restaurant. Yeah, everything's just gone out of my head. But yeah.
No, don't worry. No, we've got some fun recommendations for people to do post-lockdown for sure. Can you now tell me about your second song?
Okay, my second song would be Angel and Sneak Bow, Ride Out. I think I discovered this song when I was in like high school, I want to say. And I've loved it ever since. In my opinion, Angel's a really underrated artist. He has so many good songs, and this is like one of my like old-time favourites.
My next question is, what is the most beautiful place that you've been to?
I say two.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so Edinburgh as a city is beautiful. I went in 2017 for a weekend with my friends, and it was just so pretty. Like the city centre, Princess Street Gardens, Arthur's Seat. Like there were so many places that were just really nice and picturesque. And then I'd say Giant's Causeway it's in Ireland. I can't remember if it's in Northern, but I went to visit there last year. My friends are not interested in geography at all, or like landforms and things like that, but I forced one of my friends to come with me. And it was so amazing, because it's one of those things that I've seen in like books, and then I always thought it was somewhere like really far away. And I discovered it was an island, so I was like, right, guys, someone come with me to the island for the weekend. And then I ended up going to Dublin for like 3 days and spending the whole day going to like different like landforms in Northern Ireland, I think. But yeah.
How far is it from Dublin? Is it to get to?
The coach tour called Paddy Tours or Paddy Wagon Tours. I want to say that it took an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to get there. I might be lying.
Fine, I won't quote you on that one. What about, is there anywhere in the world which you're most keen to travel to?
Southeast Asia. If Rona hadn't ruined all of my life plans, I would definitely have tried to convince my friends to go traveling around Southeast Asia. I just think there's so many pretty countries in that part of the world. And also there's loads of landforms and things there as well. Like loads of waterfalls and like cliffs and things like that, which are really pretty. But yeah, Southeast Asia. I don't want to say a country specifically. Maybe Vietnam, if I had to pick a country in Southeast Asia.
I hate to put you on the spot, but then was there a landform which you're most keen to see in that part of the world?
Okay, so I don't know if this was created or if it was like that, but there's like a statue. So it's probably created. It's called Golden Bridge in Vietnam, also known as the Giant Stonehands. Okay, so it's not a landform, but it's 1,400 metres above sea level in the Ba Na Hills. And it looks like it has amazing like views. So that is where I'd want to see in Vietnam.
What about, do you have a memorable geography trip that you've been on, either at school or university?
This is a random one, but in my A-level geography, when we were doing our coursework, went to Brighton. And my geography class at the time were like really, really close. So I'm trying to think what I did my coursework on. I think I did it on like the management of coastal defences or something like that, which is really nice because I feel like within geography, there's always like quite a community type feel. Family kind of feel. So, you know, we really do like band together, and the memory of it in my head was really nice, especially like in the evenings where we were able to like go out and, you know, get to know each other better, and like people helping each other collect their data and stuff like that. I remember my body aching when we came back though, because I'd walked like up and down the marina 110 times.
Yeah, they are draining, those geography trips for sure. And Fab, now moving on to your third song, can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why you've chosen it?
Dave featuring Burna Boy, Location. This one's just a classic summer tune. If I'm stuck on an island, then and by myself especially, then I just want to pretend like, you know, it's the life of the party type thing. But yeah, and Dave's like one of my favourite artists as well. So
now, so my next questions are about being vegetarian. So when did you become vegetarian, and do you remember the reasons why?
Okay, so I hate to ruin anyone's day, but I'm not vegetarian because of animals or anything to do with like the environment at all. Not that I don't care about those things, it's not the reason why I went vegetarian. I kind of knew really early on in my life, like even growing up and things like that, that I didn't really like meat that much, or it was something that I could easily substitute or just not eat, and it wouldn't really bother me. And I remember there was a point in my life where I was like, oh, I'll never not be able to eat meat. And then I was like, actually, you know, when you get to that age where you start doing your own cooking, and when I started doing that, I kind of just started making vegetarian meals like naturally. And then one day I was just like, not eating meat at all. And yeah, now I followed through with it. I'm hoping that when I go back to York in 3 weeks, that I can go vegan. I don't know how long that will last or how that will go, but I'm definitely going to document it. I might like put some stuff on the Black Geographers page about, like, you know, going vegan or vegetarian, any tips or anything like that, like to include it within our content.
It links into my next question, but do you have a dish which you most enjoy to cook?
I love pasta. So I want to say like Italian style dishes, like pasta bake especially. I love making like curries with chickpeas and sweet potato. Even sweet potato pies, using like sweet potato instead of regular potatoes for the mash. Yeah.
You mentioned it briefly, but what do you think would be the hardest thing to give up if you went vegan?
Eggs. I nearly eat eggs like every single day for breakfast. Like scrambled eggs on toast with avocado is my thing. I love it. So to not be able to do that is going to be really difficult. But my sister eats predominantly like vegan diet, and she said to try and do like scrambled tofu. So I'm going to give that a try and let's see how it goes.
That'd be quite interesting, actually, scrambled tofu. I suppose, you know, if you season it right, it would taste good, because it is just comes down to the seasoning at the end of the day.
And that's the same with being vegetarian as well. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to how you season the food, because, you know, with like corn chicken pieces and corn mince and things, by themselves, they don't taste that nice. But once you've like seasoned them and things, they taste amazing.
Fab. Now, can you tell me what your fourth song is going to be?
No Scrubs by TLC. This is like a nostalgic choice. I'm like a 90s baby clinging on to the 90s title, but I do love like 90s playlists, 90s songs, and like this is one of my favourites. But yeah, that's why. That's my, is that fourth choice? Yeah.
Song number four, yeah. So now we're moving on to the Black Geographers Instagram page. So can you tell me why it is you founded the page and what you hope it will achieve?
Okay, so I have always noticed that there's been like an erasure of Black people within geography and environment, well, geography and related subjects, sorry. And when I was growing up, like, you know, GCSE, A-level, I didn't really, obviously it's at the forefront of your mind, but you never think that you can do something about it. Because at that time, I'm just thinking, like, I need to do my exams, I need to do my coursework, you know, you want to hang out with your friends. And then it wasn't until I kind of, like, got into university and I started doing my own research, and I met a fellow Black geographer called Eden, and I had a conversation with her. And I was just like, I wish there was more Black geographers, environmental science, geology, related subjects students. And then I just tweeted it. And then we started talking about ways we could encourage like uptake of geography at A-level and GCSE. And then from there, I was like, wait, I can start a platform for this, and I can create like a non-profit organization where we can like host talks and give out resources to schools and universities, you know, to get them on board and see what they can do to increase uptake by Black students, and, you know, encouraging people to do it at degree level and beyond, or, you know, take up careers within geography, you know, to allow for that diversity. So yeah, it literally went from a conversation to being, you know, a physical thing. And the launch of the Instagram page, like fully with all of our content on it, will be on July the 1st. And then from there, we'll like introduce our website and other platforms that we've decided that we're going to be on as well.
If you haven't already, make sure you follow the Black Geographers Instagram page.
Yeah, there's content coming on July the 1st, and the women who are working behind the scenes to make sure that everything is like perfect are working so hard, and I'm really, really excited for like all the stuff that's going to come out. Should I say a bit about like what's going to be coming up?
Yeah, go on, for sure.
Okay, so each week there's going to be like a theme. So for example, the first week will be like meet the team, meet the founder, our story, and then the second week might be like let's talk about fast fashion and, you know, how that relates to geography and how what you can do, especially as a student, because I feel like sometimes students feel like they can't, you know, shop sustainably, but there are loads of ways that you can shop sustainably even on like on a budget. So that's kind of like the idea at the moment, is to have different themes every single week and, you know, fill up a whole row with that theme, with like a concentration on like students as well, because, you know, we are students who are running the organisation. So, yeah.
What do you think schools and universities can do to better support Black geographers?
The curriculum at A-level and GCSE needs to be decolonised. And schools and universities should be letting students know, and parents as well, because, you know, parents do have an influence as to what you take as a subject and, you know, what you do at degree. Even if it is something that you want to do, you know, naturally students are going to go to their parents about what they'd like to do. So there needs to be more information about what you can do with geography. I did a bit of like market research for our website on Twitter, asking people why they think that Black people don't go for geography and related subjects. And a lot of what came back is that people just don't know what you can do with it and what job prospects there are with it. And I think people think that if you do geography, you have to do something that's to do with sustainability or have to do something that's to do with the environment. But like, you know, there are geographers who go into banking. Like my sister, for example, she studies geography and economics, and she wants to go into the corporate world and do like banking and accounting and that type of thing. Whereas me, I do want to go into like the environment side and continue geography to PhD level. So there are so many like different avenues, and I just want to bring more light to that, because then people will go for a subject that they think has a bit more security, if that makes sense. Because, you know, with like traditional STEM subjects, for example, like medicine, you know that when you finish your degree, you're going to be a doctor or nurse, you know. If you study geography, then you know, but if you don't, then it's like,
You don't know what's at the end.
Yeah, so, you know, it's making sure that people are clear about what geography actually is for starters, what can come from it, and bringing light to like all the benefits and perks of doing the subject.
How has the representation of Black people been in geography, both in terms of the content covered during your degree and people within your department?
So, I believe my university has one Black lecturer in geography. When I've looked at other universities, for example, I looked at the LSE faculty, and it was a predominantly white team, and the same it goes for other universities around the country for the subject. So, like, there is no representation in the people that are teaching the subject. That's no fault of the people that are teaching the subject. But, you know, you do have to start to question, like, why that is, and, you know, if they have ever raised that issue, and if they are trying to do something to help it, you know? And even on the Royal Geographical Society website, I remember I had to go through, like, I think to the About Us page or something like that to find one Black person on that website. You know, it can be very discouraging, because when you look at the subject, it could be something that you're really interested in. But when you are not represented, you're thinking, actually, maybe not. Maybe I'll go for a traditional STEM subjects instead, or subjects that are more represented in, you know, like psychology or business or economics. You know, at most university, there are more diverse subjects that you could do where you are represented in. versus doing a subject where you're not represented in pretty much at all. And I think, you know, seeing someone do what you do is a big part of it, because it's like, oh, I can do that. That's something that people who look like me do. Like even yourself, subconsciously, if you see a white male doing something that you want to do in the future, you're going to think, oh, actually, you know, that's someone I can look at as a role model, and that is something I can do. If a black student doesn't have that, then why are they going to strive for it? Because they're striving for something that's empty, that's not there.
I've got some more questions on this sort of stuff, but can we hear your fifth song?
Oh, my fifth song is Old Thing Back, Matoma and Notorious B.I.G. featuring Ja Rule and Ralph Tresvant. That's another one that for me is very like summer vibe, makes you feel good, got a 90s feel to it as well. And yeah, I could always listen to it.
Very nice. My next question is, if you could invite anyone in the world to your dinner party, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I would probably invite Patricia Bright. If you don't know who that is a black British YouTuber from London who has established herself within the content creating industry off of her own back and created a sub-platform called The Break Platform, where she discusses money, property, and other like taboo subjects. And as I was saying before, representation, you know, that is someone who is a black woman from London who is also African, and I'm African, who I can, you know, look at and be like, oh, wow, you know, success is not something that is something that I can have and not something that's, you know, dedicated to or only achievable for someone who is white.
So my next question, growing up, did you have any childhood ambitions? And if so, are they the same as your ambitions now?
Definitely not, because I always said I would never be a teacher. And I'd hate to be a teacher. I think I remember telling my geography teacher at GCSE that I would hate to be a teacher. Can't imagine ever going into teaching, ever working with kids, anything like that. And then I think in 2016 or 17, when I was in sixth form, I was like, actually, I quite enjoy it. Like, even with my personal blog Instagram, I always have stories up where I'm educating people on something, because I enjoy like learning. So I enjoy like telling other people what I've learned, whether that be geography and like environment topics, or whether that be like fashion or the news or like political, just something that I enjoy doing. But you know, back then you're kind of just like, oh no, I'd hate to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when I took a gap year as well. I think that's another year where I really noticed like, wow, I actually really enjoy this. I really enjoy like teaching people things.
So you mentioned it there, but can you tell me more about the blog which you started? Like, what was the inspiration behind it?
Okay, so I started the blog Francisca Rocky, www.franciscarocky.co.uk, in 2014. At the time, I was a teenager and I was in school. And I just started randomly, like, going through the internet, looking at, I think it was Zoella, Zoe Snug, a YouTuber. At the time, she had a blog, and I was like, oh, like, this is interesting. People write online. That's cool. And then I found out like how I could, you know, do the same thing, essentially. And so I just started writing, and I've written every single week since 2014.
Wow.
And my old content is archived now, because I still have the same URL, but it's like archived old content and started producing new content. Like for a rebrand, obviously, because I'm not 14 years old anymore. But yeah, it just kind of started as a place where I wanted to like share, get my writing out there, you know, all your thoughts and feelings and emotions as a 14-year-old. And then now it's like growing into something bigger, I guess, like a brand, like it's part of me, but it's not the whole of me, it's just a part of me. And sometimes I feel like I have a bit of imposter syndrome where I'm like, is that me? Or obviously I am one person, but I do think I have a split part of me in all the things that I do. So like in Black Geographers, I wouldn't say that Fran is the same Fran as I am on like my blog, And I wouldn't say like the same fan on my blog, the same person I am on my other platforms. While they all have the same views and they all speak the same, they all have like different likes and interests within those different spaces.
And can you now tell me about the sixth song you'll be taking with you?
I would be taking Jar Praiser, Mundara Vachoya, which is a Zim artist, Jar Praiser. And this is a very like cultural song because I'm part Zim. And it's just one of those songs that you play at parties, like family parties. And when I'm driving, I like playing it. I like the vibe of it. But yeah, good artist. Check them out.
Do you have any pet peeves, anything which bothers you way more than anything else?
Okay, this is something I've discovered in lockdown that I don't like. People who use the kettle and don't fill it back up. I did think it annoyed me until lockdown, where people in my family do it all the time and I'm just like, why? You not just fill it back up when you're done with it.
No, for sure, because otherwise it's just, you know, you're just filling up all the time.
Exactly. I'm glad someone else like gets what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. We had we've got a common room kettle and it's the exact same issue. You know, people use it, it's almost like a standoff, you know, everyone's just waiting for someone else to go fill up the kettle. What is the most courageous thing you've ever done?
Okay, you mentioned this earlier, but I had a massive fear of heights up until March last year.